The Victorian Premier's Literary Awards were inaugurated by the Victorian government in 1985 to honour the literary achievement by Australian writers. They announced its winners on Monday night and honouring the literary achievements of Australian writers. So the category spanned across a multitude of genres and writing styles. And joining us to talk a bit more about the prize and his work is, like I said, David Stavanger, winner of the Poetry Prize for 2021. He's a poet, performer, cultural producer, and editor and lapsed psychologist. His recent work, Case Notes, is a follow-up of his book, The Special. It's a visceral and profound meditation on masculinity, mental illness, fatherhood, family, and suburban life. Through a mixtape of free verse, lyric poetry, found text, and spoken word, this book perfectly captures the lived and living mental health experience, I think. So, David, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me. Although I was listening to that intro and realizing that was probably written by my publisher's publicist or something. I was thinking about, is it a profound meditation? Probably not, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, I've had a gaze through it, and I think that's aptly titled. Definitely.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Of course.
I think more people should gaze at poetry. That's cool. Yeah, that's really nice.
I love poetry. I'm a huge proponent for it.
I think a lot more people do than sort of like. Is publicly acknowledged.
Yeah.
I think a lot more people have poetry in their own form, whatever that is.
Definitely.
Than we sort of acknowledge. Yeah.
100%. But first off, congratulations on your win. Where were you when you found out, and what kind of feelings were buzzing around when you got the call?
When I first got the call, I was actually just weeding out the front of my rental in Port Kembla. And I just saw this Victorian number and picked it up and I just swore at the CEO. I was like, yeah, fuck, that's incredible. Like, you know, like, what else can one say? I mean, nobody really, I don't think many writers write for prizes or money. And particularly in poetry, you know, like, these things are so rare and unexpected. And somebody sort of freelanced or worked as a poetry, you know, arts producer as well for like 15 years, like, 25 grand, you're gonna respond to that, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you know, the prize has become the richest prize in Australia since 2013, with the overall prize grant being about $125,000. And as you had said, $25,000 for each individual category winner. In your opinion, like, how you were saying that, you know, you don't really do it for the prizes, and like, money is like, especially in the arts, it's like a very, very, it's something that we all need, but it's not what it's done for. How fundamental is it that this type of acknowledgement be given to Australian writers? And should other states and even countries start following Victoria's lead in paving the way for greater acknowledgement towards Australian writers, whether it be financially or through other means more often?
Wow, there's a lot there. But I'll give it a go. Look, it's an amazing prize. And the overall winner this year was Laura Jean Mackay, who's a friend of mine, actually helped edit or push me with this book. So seeing her win the overall prize, Animals from That Country, incredible book. I think in the current like landscape, even more so than any other time, these prizes are really important because federal commitment to the arts, whether it be funding or actually having an arts minister, are at their lowest ebb. And, you know, like trying to understand the level at which writing kind of operates, whether it be songwriting lyrics or script on TV, or you look at an Instagram poem or even a well-constructed, witty tweet. Like, that's all writing. So to me, having this sort of acknowledgement for people who've put the works in, developed a body of work, a collection or something like that resonates with people. And it's not about how many people for me, it's about that it resonates with people at all. Just valuing that. That art can connect in that way. And in terms of other states, look, we have the New South Wales Premier Prize. I lived in Queensland for a long time, and when Campbell Newman came into government, it was sort of one of the first acts he did was to cut the state literary prizes, and the Labor government gave it back. So it becomes, these arts funding becomes a political football, you know, which is ugly, and it debases what, like, writing is actually a practice. It is a career for people, and it's not. When you frame it as a hobby or just dismiss it as this little leftist pursuit, that's really reductionist.
I totally agree. And Aisha, you wanted to say, you had a Joseph Brodsky quote that you wanted to...
Yeah, well, I was reading Joseph Brodsky and he said, there are worse crimes than burning books, one is not reading them. And I immediately felt like this quote really resonated with the culture of literature in recent years. And, you know, we seem to have everything at the tips of our fingers with technology and the internet. Mm. And we've kind of lapsed in our appreciation of picking up a book and reading it cover to cover and retaining that experience. But David, would you agree in saying that basically since the COVID pandemic, there has almost been a recalling of this attitude and, in fact, possibly more of an appreciation for traditional literature of sorts?
Yeah, it's not something I like know in depth enough to really have an expert sort of industry comment on, but I would say just things I've noticed during it is I think for big name authors, it's increased their sales, or established voices, or well-promoted, exciting debut fiction, maybe it's really amplified their voices and definitely their sales. So sales overall, like say in the last year of books, which indicate sort of high levels of reading went up. But for the less engaged with forms, something like poetry and lesser known writers, I think it had a significantly negative impact, because when we lost all our launches, reading events, like festival bookings, I must have lost something like 14 last year related to the book. I got to do Perth Festival and LA Festival, and I was very lucky to do those, and then everything shut down. Mm. We rely on that presence, like, and particularly poets. Poets more so, yes, we rely on people to read it, but we rely on the reading of our work to give it voice and to broaden that audience and that readership. So I think it's a really exciting time for literature and potential readership, but I also don't think we should romanticize what the flow-ons actually are across forms.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I understand
that. Yeah, definitely. And look, let's talk about your book, Case Notes, for a bit. It's fantastic, and it's such a raw and real account of the mental health experience. And, you know, mental health is quite a personal experience. And whilst there are similar lines that sort of connect one experience from the other, it's all still so different and unique to the individual. What was the writing process like, and what kind of motivations led you to decide to put your experience onto paper?
Good question. These are really in-depth, detailed questions. This is great. I did an ABC interview the other day, and I came off a fruitcake making section where and I was on hold, and then they asked me one question, I was gone. It actually came from I wouldn't say rage, but a real fire to reclaim my own narrative within my mental health experience, both private and public system. And also a need to interrogate and reframe the euphemisms and language that's used to sort of soften the experience, you know, and really interrogate terms like informed consent and public awareness campaigns like Mental Health Week, which really are often driven by us wanting to feel warm fuzzies about where mental health is at, and doesn't really look into the day-to-day grind of it. The main poem that sort of formed the spine in the piece, book, Electric Journal, was based on having ECT through the Queensland Public Health System and coming out of that process with memory losses and an ongoing kind of visible agitation. And there's a lot of anecdotal experience about this, whereas mental health experts will say there are no long-term side effects or, no real risks. And that's not the case for a lot of people, including myself. So... And I came across these notes that I'd written, and I didn't even know them were my words because I had lost the memory of writing them.
Wow.
And from that, I formed this long poem that began the collection. Then I just liked the idea of, you know, case notes, the idea that someone else documents our lived experience as if they're an expert on us, and then we have to go through Freedom of Information to access our own notes, the idea of writing my own. That was kind of the premise of where it kind of emerged, and then it went off into all directions from there.
That's awesome. Sort of like being looked at as like a fish in the fishbowl and being like observed and notes taken about, you know, observations and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we love to pathologize other people's psychological distress. It makes us more comfortable to do that. And that's how the mental health system is set up. It's set up to pathologize everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, I've only been able to read a little bit of it, but I'm so, so keen to look up more of your work, David. I'm so, like, thank you so much for coming on our show. We've unfortunately run out of time.
No, that's totally fine.
But yeah, thank you so much for, you know, coming on, and congratulations once again on your win. I hope you have a great afternoon, and thank you again.
Thanks so much for having me. Really,
no problem.
It.
See you later.
Bye.
That was David Stavanger, winner of the Poetry Award for the Victorian Premier's Literary Awards. If you want to find out more about the VPLAs, head over to the Wheeler Centre website and check out David's book, Case Notes, available in all bookstores now.